I just got back from a conference in Los Angeles. It wasn't a green conference. I go to plenty of those. This one was a radio conference, and I have to share what happened. I was going to save this for a future program on green media, what's going on with green programming in mainstream media. But because Mike is not yet with us and because this is something that is so much on my mind, I'd like to share something with you. By the way, we've not solicited your calls until now. I think I will do that just in case we don't get Mike. I would love to hear from you. Again, the number to call in to the program is 888-346-9141. And if you are able to call and say hello, it doesn't even have to be on eco-fashion. It can be on whatever is on your mind. Look forward to hearing from you as we go forward. And I know a lot of people listen by a podcast after the fact, so I don't know how many of you are out there listening live, but let me hear from you if you are. So I just got back from this conference, and I don't know how much you know, all of you, about the talk radio industry, but it is dominated by conservatives. Now, I happen to be one who thinks even conservatives should be interested in green programming, but what I am finding out is at least the programmers, the managers of these conservative stations apparently are not. I'm going to give you a specific example, but among the statistics I heard while I was at this conference, it's shocking. 92% of the spoken words on radio, and by the way, 95% of Americans still get information from radio, so it's not one of the dying mediums, even though obviously the internet is cutting into that, and that's not a bad thing since we are on the internet now. But 92% of words spoken on the radio are from conservatives. Now, you know, conservative, the word itself, you know, should make anyone think that, gee, conservatives should conserve. And I don't know why it's become such a political red versus blue issue, but it has, and that's why the slogan of my former program on Air America, EcoTalk, was greening the red and blue states one show at a time, because it is for all of us, and we are all in the same boat. And sometimes it feels like it's sinking in ever, you know, rising waters. So back to the radio conference, I was listening to, you know, some right-wing station talent and managers, programmers speak, and, you know, they love Rush and all that. And I couldn't keep quiet. So at the end of this three-day conference, I was just there for 2 days, Friday and Saturday, I raised my hand in a panel discussion that was mostly CEOs and general managers of radio stations, the large ones across the country, some syndicators, and I issued an eco challenge. I said, because they were talking about how radio is an endangered species and, you know, we shouldn't assume that we're going to, you know, be a strong industry going forward. We should, you know, assume that maybe there is no tomorrow and have a healthy fear. Well, when I hear words like that with my green lenses and my, you know, green filter on my ears and my brain, I can't help it. I just am that way. I, you know, think something other than, you know, just radio. So I raised my hand and said, well, guys, and it was all men, middle-aged white men, I think, up there. Why is it that, you know, as sad as it would be if something were to happen to radio, that you don't think about, you know, the endangered human species and what's going on with our planet? Why is there not one green radio program on commercial radio? And the guy who was head of this group of conservative talk stations spoke up and he said, oh, well, because it's not popular enough and it's not profitable enough. And I said, well, how would you know that? You haven't tried it. I had a program on Air America, and with zero help from that network, we had 50,000 listeners a night. That was Monday through Friday. The show was a success by, you know, by my account, because it, again, had no marketing, but we just spread virally, organically, as I say. But I quit because Air America was charging me, since green was the new black. Might as well get out of the red, as I say. So it was popular, and there is pent-up demand for this kind of information that just might save our you-know-whats. So how do you know it wouldn't be popular? And he jumped on me and said, it just wouldn't. We know that, you know, like, next, and dismissed me. And it was such an arrogant response that quite a few people came up to me afterwards and, you know, sort of, you know, said, wow, that's pretty shocking. And, you know, they wonder why they're maybe in the dark ages. you put your hands over your ears and your eyes, and then you wonder why you're becoming, you know, sort of irrelevant. So I have I issued this eco challenge, and I'm going to stand by it, and I'm going to be blogging about it and talking about it on future programs.
We have Marcy online.
See who's going to be the next station to actually do some some green programming. And if they're looking for sponsors, they're out there. If they're listening, looking for listeners, I know you're out there. And hey, if they need some green radio talent, I happen to know where I can find some. So I hope you'll all get involved in that. Write me at Betsy@thegreenfront.com. Tell me what you think. Well, I'm going to continue just for a couple minutes before our next guest comes on. Marcy Zaroff will be joining us after the break. She is on the line from Under the Canopy, and we'll try to get Mike Korchinski back on another show. Sorry about that. Must have got our signals crossed. There's been sort of a shrinking of green media entities out there just at a time when, you know, it should be growing rapidly. I'm talking about a magazine called Plenty. Some of you may know it. It was the first sort of green and glossy, but, you know, on recycled content paper and I think soy ink. Came out, I don't know, 3-4 years ago and was quite popular. Certainly I saw it at every green event I went to, and I knew it was really making headway when I would see it, you know, in the lines at Whole Foods, et cetera. They went under just about a month or two ago, a function of the economy, and they had an investor that had to back out because of it and some other events. So they're gone. You might think that's not such a big deal, but again, it was one of the more popular ones that you wouldn't think that would happen to. There was the first green magazine I recall since I've been covering this beat 10, 12 years ago, Organic Style. They went away and subsequently have been bought. And are, I think, coming back as a magazine. But what about television? Well, NBC, Green is Universal, they have that annual week-long programming event where they try to have green content in their, you know, programs, everything from the Today Show to sitcoms, and good for them. But guess what they did during Green is Universal Week just a few months ago? They canceled a program that they had, I believe they purchased the Weather Channel. And there was a great program that Heidi Cohen worked on and Natalie Allen, if it's the one I'm thinking of, all about climate change. And they traveled around the country and saw evidence of global warming and interviewed people who were impacted. And it was a fabulous whodunit program. You know, radio can't do everything. We don't have pictures. And I just, you know, was a fan of it. And maybe not enough people were tuning in. But, you know, how can you expect to have a built-in audience when you don't promote it? I just found it through my green circles. But I didn't see it advertised, you know, on the Today Show, which I watch every morning. So shame on them for taking that off. And why that one when they have so many other programs? It maybe is just because it was the last program that they created, so the first one to die. But my goodness, with our ecological challenges mounting by the day, and if you don't know what I'm talking about, just come look at my inbox one day. I'm on every green list there is out there. And it's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling how rapidly things are deteriorating. And what keeps me going is there's just as many, you know, wonderful, again, people, programs, products that are, you know, sort of heeding the call and stepping in to help lead this eco-U-turn, this transition to a more sustainable America and a sustainable world. So there's no shortage of things to talk about. And as anyone who listens to my programs has seen, there's no shortage of interesting, informative, sometimes even funny, you know, guests to have on. And there's the issue of sponsorship. I know that certainly has been a challenge for me, again, having been a little bit ahead of the curve for the last 10 years, when companies really were not ready to put their money where their mouth is, were not really ready to spend on a green message and marketing that. And then all of a sudden, they finally were, all of a sudden, like overnight, you know, we went, the green rush began. But then, of course, the economic downturn happened, you know, it's been happening, but quite, you know, dramatically last September, and that happens to be the beginning of ad buying season, sort of September through December. So I was working on a couple initiatives. I know other people were trying to get a few, you know, short-form radio programs off the ground, and, you know, after September 15th, you can't get, you know, anyone in a corporation to call you back. And everyone is kind of waiting for the other, you know, shoe to drop and holding their breath. But here's the good news. The green lining, as I say, in the cloud can be, in fact, has to be, what we must do to make this transition. A couple of weeks ago, we had the co-founder of the movement Transition Town. She brought it over from the United Kingdom, where it's very popular, and they're catching on, and it's communities training communities, community members training each other about how to prepare for climate change and peak oil, and that's where it has to happen. So no shortage of things to discuss, and we don't have a lot of time to waste. Stay with us. When we come back, we'll speak to Marcy Zaroff.